Rapids and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. One of the largest earthquakes ever recorded hit eastern Russia. It shook furniture and triggered a tsunami. Plus, waves as tall as 15 feet led to warnings in Japan, Hawaii, and the California coast. They've all been lifted now. Hawaii County Mayor Kimo Alameda is cautiously optimistic.
We're under an advisory, and an advisory is still precautions that we got to take. We don't know how the energy of the waves plays out with the topography of the islands, and it can be kind of tricky. So we're keeping an eye on that.
Maui County's Mayor Richard Bisson.
Right now, no reports of any damage, no injuries. Really happy with our first responders. Our fire department made a few rescues.
Atmospheric scientist Matthew Cappucci.
It's absolutely enormous. The biggest anywhere worldwide since the Japanese earthquake of 2011, and the sixth largest earthquake ever recorded by seismologists. So it's simply enormous.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Nearly 70 active large-scale wildfires are burning over a million acres in the U.S. alone. And much of this wildfire activity is happening in the Pacific Northwest as well as Canada. And most of the recent ones are caused by dry lightning strikes that happened in dense, wooded areas with remote access.
This is really no different than any other year, other than the fact that it is a little bit earlier.
That's Catherine Coele, a Wisconsin DNR wildfire prevention specialist. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the fire control program staff from the state have been mobilized across the western U.S. and even into Canada to help combat the blazes.
Once you get notice of a resource order, you can be mobilized within 24 hours.
Both personnel and engines from Wisconsin have been moved to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments so far this year. But how can we afford to send resources when we have our own problems here?
You know, these experiences, they bring that back to Wisconsin. It's a way for us to improve our program here. They share those experiences. Hey, you know, we did this thing out in Oregon, and it was really cool, and there was a neat way to fight this fire, and it's those strategies are brought back to Wisconsin. So we learn and grow from those experiences when we bring those resources back.
Since we've had recent widespread rain and green vegetation across the state, wildfire activity here has subsided with a minimal fire risk in Wisconsin. Now, this has allowed the DNR to shift focus and help support national wildfire efforts. Right now, 20 different DNR staff have been moved to 12 different states, with three wildland fire engines currently stationed in Oregon. There are also six DNR staff in northern Manitoba and another DNR engine responding to fires in California. Wisconsin firefighters and engines are slated to be on assignment for about 2 weeks or until the fire severity subsides. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A house divided. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where things got a little testy. I asked quarterback Jordan Love if fights on the practice field can lead to division in the locker room.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is football. We got a big team. It's not like basketball or any of these other sports. These guys are battling every day, O-line, D-line. They're banging every day. So there's going to be some chippiness on the field, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to dap each other up and you know, find ways to compete through the whistle and understand that we're a team at the end of the day.
The Badgers football team at UW-Platteville for the next couple of weeks to begin preparing for the season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
We got to use it the best way. Just because you're here doesn't mean you use it the best way. There's great opportunities with facilities and things like that, but in order for us to do this the best way, you know, our guys got to spend time together.
Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs today in Milwaukee. The Crew winning last night 9-3 to take a two-game lead over Chicago in the standings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight will drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking about the gubernatorial race along with Trigvi Olsen, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow of Morning to Pat Kreitlow. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you here up north for our 8 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, July 30th. Parker Olson produces us down in Madison in Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us in just a sec. Coming up shortly, we'll be talking to Civic Media's Earl Ingram about his podcast, What's Going On, including some of the guests and stories that they are telling. Then in our next half hour is our weekly climate check, where Melissa Baldoff and I talk about climate headlines. Well, we're bringing in a little help this time around. Melissa and I will be talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. You normally hear him Friday mornings, and of course he has Amicus, the show of his every Saturday, and then replayed on Sunday mornings. And we're going to talk about the climate crisis in courts around the world and here in the U.S., and looking for other ways to prod along the process of, you know, not killing our planet and seeing if we can get it done in courts instead of in Congress. That's ahead in the next half hour. But first, back to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who is following some rain, essentially working its way from, Wausau to, or not Wausau, what am I trying to say, La Crosse to Stevens Point to Appleton. Anywhere south of there, you got a little busy radar, except I thought there was something wrong with my radar, that the screen was kind of like fuzzy. And then I zoomed out and I realized that's like almost all of Wisconsin's covered in a watch box for air quality. It's going to be one of those days again today, Brittany.
It really is. I mean, it depends where you are in the state. If you're up north, you're going to be battling the thicker wildfire smoke. The air quality is unhealthy. It is in the red levels right now, pretty much from Green Bay through Wausau into Eau Claire and north. So those are the areas that have less likely chances of getting rain today. Now, a pop-up shower or storm is possible later this afternoon and into this evening. A very, very small chance, like a 20% chance. I'm throwing it out there just so it doesn't surprise you. Also this morning up north, foggy conditions, spots of sunshine, but again, those rain and storms pushing through the southern part of the state. Right now, it's pretty heavy right outside of Milwaukee. In the next 30 to 40 minutes or so, the heaviest of the rain will be over downtown, and we are looking at anywhere from a half an inch to an inch and a quarter from this just little wave pushing through. And we've more rain throughout the afternoon, and it continues into this evening before it winds down far south overnight tonight. So we could see some flooding potential. There is a watch in northern Illinois. We are kind of included that on the state line as well. Now, the watch hasn't been issued, but I'm letting you know that the precipitation values are definitely there. We could get up to 2.5 possible. So some gusty winds, too, up to 50 miles per hour have been seen early this morning. Again, this is for far southern parts of the state today, where you're seeing that system really track through up north. We're seeing that northwest breeze and that wildfire smoke. But highs all across the board today will be in the mid to upper 70s. The further north you are, the warmer you're going to get. Further south, the more clouds and much cooler. But overall, tomorrow, the rain clears on out. Wildfire smoke wants to stick around, but we stay crisp and comfortable.
I feel like, yes, you're getting it all out of your system. You and Mother Nature are telling you all the stuff. And then tomorrow, it'll just be quiet. We'll just be talking about more tranquil weather. We won't need as many verbs and adjectives for it all.
I can't wait.
You've definitely earned it. Thank you, Brittany. Yeah. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's turn our attention now to Earl Ingram. He's got the What's Going On podcast. You can get it over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows where you can see not only all of the, you know, regular weekday shows, the weekend shows, but also special podcasts as well. And we are very blessed to have Earl doing that for us. Earl joining us now to talk about what he's working on this week. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Let's start by looking at the podcast here that you're working on. And the working title I see here is Dreams Deferred. And I want to hear more about the decades worth of community issues that you're looking at in the latest edition of your podcast.
So Dreams Deferred is a book that describes 6 decades of discrimination against African Americans in the trades, especially the construction trade industry. And it certainly has been an area that, you know, has brought some alarms to people who've been talking about this for a long time. The trades happen to be an area where there's a strong middle class reality that is garnered from the trades: a steam fitter, electrician, plumber, carpenter. Those types of jobs are guaranteed strong middle class. They don't require a college degree. You don't have to go into debt to become a tradesperson. And once you become a journeyman tradesperson, like they always say, they can never take that education away from you for life. And the other aspect of this is, while all other jobs seem to be endangered by AI, the trades are one area that aren't ever going to be taken away by technology. And so they've been able to find and track this and see that these trades have basically, once you're in, your children are in, your grandchildren are in, and this is passed down through families. And unfortunately, like so many other things, blacks weren't involved in it early on, and so they're not involved in it now. And where this becomes a big issue is when there are contracts that are governmental contracts that and taxpayers that don't include people of color.
Is it when you talk about, you know, it says here, the promise of a people is postponed, rejected, or overlooked. And you talked to a couple of NAACP members who authored the book Dreams Deferred. What is it specifically? Because, again, like you said, you can't take that education away. Is the problem attaining the education, or that once they have that education in skilled trades, that it's hard to find work?
Well, so what actually happens is there are many people who are qualified through the educational process. What it is once you get that education, now you must go yourself and seek employment. And there is no automatic end if you have it. You have to go to some firm or some company and try to get in. And so that's where the problem lies. There is no tracking of that. And so, you know, it's between you and you brokering the deal yourself with whoever that company is, that construction company is, or whomever. And so, you know, there is no tracking of that, and that's where the problem lies.
Okay. We're talking to Earl Ingram, and he's talking about his podcast, What's Going On. You can get that at civicmedia.us/shows, or just go to the homepage and click on shows. And Dreams Deferred includes the guests Frieda Webb and Paul Blackman, and that's one of the topics that you can find in Earl's podcast. But Earl, I also wanted to ask you about an ongoing problem in Milwaukee that is so overdue to be addressed. It gets talked about a lot, and it's pedestrian deaths from reckless driving, but also from police chases. And it just, again, seems like I don't want to use the term, how is this a thing? But I almost feel like, you know, the old style police chase is not something that is as necessary as it used to be.
So for over 10 years, I have been outspoken about police chases. I've never understood why, with the new technology, police have to chase, you know, wayward guys in these cars who are running away from police. I'm not supporting any criminal activity. What I'm saying is, why endanger the lives of innocent people because you want to make a collar? And so now I think we're up to about 7 here in Milwaukee already this year. But this is, again, a national issue. And the fact that, you know, there are different ways, you know, that you can make this happen without chasing someone through a red light. Well, I know the police say, well, we saw that he was driving recklessly and we chased him, and we saw that it looked like he was going to keep going and he's doing 80 miles an hour. And now we finally called it off. Well, you should have thought about that before you start chasing somebody in a heavy populated area at 3 in the afternoon, where people are getting off work or innocent citizens are crossing the streets. And so this, again, is not a solely a Milwaukee problem. This is a national problem. And if anybody wants to look it up, it's been going on for a long, long time all over this nation. And we're at a point where something has to be done. And now, there are people who support it until it's their loved one who has lost their life.
Well, yeah. And again, you don't, it's not, two wrongs don't make a right, is what I'm trying to say here. You don't save lives by going after a reckless driver by also engaging in reckless driving. You're simply encouraging the problem when, you know, there are ways through, again, there's license plate cameras, there's all kinds of other tracking, there's drones, especially, you name it, that we should be seeing a reduction in these kinds of episodes rather than an increase with such deadly results. One more episode I wanted to ask you about. You have your friend Dr. Omar on, the pharmacist, occasionally, just talking about, you know, promoting good health practices. And I always enjoy seeing that because, again, we can talk about politics all day. We can talk about the problems in our communities all day. But every so often, we have to be reminded to take good care of ourselves. And I always like that you make a little time for that as well.
So this episode is really an important episode because what happens is there are people who are being turned down. The doctor prescribes medication for you, and Medicare or other insurance companies are the arbiters of whether or not you get that medication. And so there's this situation that occurs where, okay, so the doctor prescribed the medication for you. You're waiting to get the medication. You go to the pharmacy. The pharmacist says, well, this hasn't been okay. And so time goes on, weeks go on. You don't get the medication that was prescribed to you by your doctor. And now you're caught in this black hole between the insurance company and the doctor. And I'm sure many people in your listening audience have had to deal with this. So we address that issue. It is an ongoing problem, a major problem between the insurance company and the doctor on whether or not they're going to cover medications that are prescribed by the doctor. Really important conversation that we had.
Okay, and that's the point, is to be, you sometimes you've got to be your own best healthcare advocate and get that advice and that guidance from Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, and from Earl Ingram on the What's Going On podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and look for it and subscribe there. Earl, as always, I appreciate the chance to catch up. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great rest of your week out there.
You as well.
All right. Thank you very much. A local update is going to be coming up next for some of you. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes or so, we'll have our climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff, including a special guest this time around, because we're going to talk about the ways that climate issues are finding their ways into courts increasingly, both here in the States and in other countries, and even the world court is taking on the issue of a changing climate and what constitutes justice for people whose health is being imperiled by those who care less about our climate and our atmosphere than they should. That's all ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All eyes will be on the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors as they become the Central Wisconsin Mashers in tribute to all the potato farming brings to our area. Join them for their annual Mashers Night on Friday, August 1st. Don't miss your chance to win one of the specialty jerseys in their silent auction presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center and McCain's Foods. Gather your family and head on down to historic Winterfield for this spudtastic game as the Raptors try to mash the Lakeshore Chinooks. First pitch at 6:35, but the fun lasts all evening.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A muskie lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I imagine that there's some nerves, but also some excitement, right?
Yeah, it's a little... It's obviously a little, like, nerve-wracking, because, like, you're in a room full of a bunch of people, but it's most of them you know, and it's just, like, you get to mess around with your friends for, like, an hour, and then you get to be in a play with them. So it's, like, not that bad once you...
Right. Cadence, did you see it the same way? Did you?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Right on. That's great. And thank you for sharing that, you guys. Yeah. Now, part of the purpose of this that Steph and I and many of the people from WRCT, when we're doing this, we want to celebrate these shows, make sure you guys get a good turnout. We also want to encourage other people to come on down and audition for these things. And I put a lot of focus on adults and getting grumpy people like me to come down and audition and stuff. But kids are a very important part of this as well. And we want them to have the fun. They're hearing it from you guys firsthand. That helps a lot. Appreciate you sharing that. When it comes to the characters you're playing, let's go ahead and introduce those a little bit. Go ahead and tell me the name of your character and a little bit about them.
So I'm one of the narrators. I'm narrator number one. And basically I get to, like, not dictate. What's the word?
Kind of.
Help.
Navigate. Is that a word you were looking? Because I think that's a good one.
She's also, we have four narrators. I split them from two to four because they are 200 some lines per narrator. Wow. I'm like, that's a lot to learn in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So she's almost kind of like,
I'm like the
mother of the four. Like, she kind of has to rein them all in because they're very chaotic.
All of them are chaotic. One of them likes to talk about flames and like death all the time. And I'm like, you gotta chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, awesome.
You also get to interact with the audience and
I love doing all the crowd work I get to do.
It's one of my favorite things to do. One of my all time favorite things to do is anything to do with the audience.
Anytime you get to break that fourth wall, yes. It's so like a fun taboo that it's like, ooh, I'm allowed to do this. Yeah.
That's so cool. Pretty cool too. Oftentimes a narrator is just a voice or just not really a lot of character put into it. It's really cool to have
four, they have a lot of character and personality.
Very cool. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. Thank you. And Cadence, can you tell us about yours?
So I'm the Enchantress, and I'm basically like Mother Gothel. Mm-hmm. I take away Rapunzel from her mother.
Mm.
It's very fun.
And you're part of a trio, too, which is super fun. Her and Rumpelstiltskin and the Devil.
Oh, wow, and that is a tag.
The girl sells her soul to all three of them, and then they fight over them. And there's a lot of tie-ins from, like, the girl and the prince become Rapunzel's mother. Rapunzel becomes the mother of a different, like, Cinderella, I think. They're all tied in somehow together. It's very weird but interesting and good.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, it's a fun idea.
Yeah. It's super interesting.
The whole play is connected.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
Was that one of the reasons why you guys wanted to come down to audition? Was that the type of show that it was?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a bunch of friends who wanted me to do it too, but like, it seemed like a very chaotic and fun show.
Very cool. Very cool. And there's no wrong answers.
Right.
You know, really. It's just cool to hear that. That's great. What about the rehearsal process? Stephanie was telling us you guys did not have a lot of time. We used to call this back in the day guerrilla theater when you do that. You know, you have a week or two to prepare for a show or something. That's a little chaotic, a little crazy, but also kind of exciting, kind of fun. Did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, it's a little different from like normal rehearsals where like you have like a month to like learn everything. So like everything's more fast paced, but it's still fun.
Stephanie, how often during the week did you guys rehearse and for how long?
So we had auditions on the 14th, and then last week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, we had our blocking rehearsal. So I blocked the entire show in 9 hours, basically three-hour blocks. And then this week, so yesterday and today, are reviews of last week's blocking. Tomorrow, lines are memorized. We do act one, act two. Thursday is the first time we do a full run. Dress rehearsal Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday performances. So we're literally halfway through right now.
Yeah.
Eight rehearsals. We're on the fifth day. So.
Wow. You guys are incredible. That's awesome.
That and every year
so
people
awesome.
Ask, I'm like, this has been going on for 15 years. It's worked every year, so something's right. I don't know if it's the scripts, if it's the, I mean, the dedication of the actors as well. Obviously, they have. And yeah, it's, again, it works, and I don't know how.
And you know, to her point, what she's saying there, you guys, I don't know how many productions Steph and I have been a part of if you took both of our careers and everything. And one thing I think we can both agree on, no matter what the show, no matter what the chaos or anything, they always work out. They always work out.
The show must go on.
The show goes on.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, this is your deadline. This is when it's due, and we're going to do it.
And there is such a fun part of that as far as performing goes, the energy and the adrenaline it gives you for it. You guys are going to have a blast out there with this one. What do you, I have to ask a tough question as a journalist. That's what I do. So I have to ask, do you have a favorite part, or was there a favorite part of the show that you guys enjoyed it? Maybe something you did, or maybe something you get to see. And we don't want to spoil anything, of course, but... anything in particular that you guys really stood out to you?
My favorite part is like the crowd work I get to do during the Hansel and Gretel story, because that's so like it's a like a horror, that's like the more horror movie one. So I get to help I make the crowd make sound effects. Like I get to like randomly jump out and like start pointing and like yelling at the audience, and it's really fun.
We got Friday the 13th ties into Hansel and Gretel.
That's incredible. I've never gotten to do anything like that. That is pretty cool. That is awesome.
If that doesn't entice you to come and see our show.
Yes. We can just cut this up in little snippets here and everything. Candace, how about for you?
I think I just like the whole show. It's just really funny, and there's not like a specific part that's my favorite, because it's just all my favorite.
That's a fantastic answer. That's a great answer. And it really does speak to, you know, I haven't gotten to read it full hand and everything, but doing some prep this weekend, I, like you, Stephanie, got a couple of pages. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. I don't want to have anything spoiled for me. I want to see the show.
Right. This author has written so many different, and he likes to combine like famous stories together. And yeah, his writing is fantastic. A lot of this show feels kind of improv, and it kind of feels thrown together in like that's how it's supposed to feel. Like I said, there's certain things where it almost feels like it's a rehearsal. You know, like in rehearsal, you're like, oh shoot, we forgot the lamp. Someone runs or grabs it and sets down. That's what this whole show is like. Oh, we need a baby thrown on stage. We catch it, you know. We have a kiddie pool for our pond for the frog pits.
Awesome.
Like we just have things all over the place constantly being brought on, and it's great.
I thought of something else with this too, where it's a play where you may not know the play, but you do. You know these characters, you know
so
much of it. There's
very much fractured fairy tale.
And I find that part is cool, while also you're going to be seeing some of these things and these characters like you haven't seen them before in a new way. So that part is really cool.
And what's really fun, and I think a lot of people are interested in this Grimm Brothers, it's the original stories. It's not the mouse version. And that's what we refer to multiple times. Like before them.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Portage County DA has issued charges in the July 6th double homicide in the town of New Hope. John L. Schulfer has been charged with seven total felony charges, including two counts of first-degree intentional homicide as a repeater and two counts of causing mental harm to a child repeater, among other charges. Schulfer will have his first Portage County court appearance on August 1st at 1:15 p.m. He's being held in the Wapaka jail on a $2 million cash bond. Wisconsin has its first confirmed case of West Nile virus this year. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Department of Health Services disease epidemiologist Rebecca Osborne says most people who get infected may not even be aware, but symptoms include fever, chills, headache, muscle aches, rash, and fatigue. The confirmed case was in Barron County, a man in his 60s. Mosquitoes collected in Milwaukee and Lafayette counties have tested positive for the virus. To avoid mosquito bites, apply insect repellent, wear long sleeves, and remove any standing water from your property.
Since the arrest in April, attorneys for Jenny Wickey have been requesting a reduction in her $2 million bond amount. Wickey was arrested on 14 felony charges, including fraud and theft. Wickey owns two restaurants in Nacusa, West River Cafe, and Little Mexico. The first request for bond reduction in late May was denied. A month later, on June 24th, Wickey's bond was reduced to $1 million. Now, late last week, Wickey's cash bond has been adjusted down to $200,000. Despite the court denying the bond modification, they still lowered the cash required to secure her release from jail. If she's able to make bond, Wickey is not allowed to leave the state of Wisconsin, sell any major items without permission of the court, or open or reopen any business without the approval of the Department of Revenue. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Three Body Problem is moving forward with a two-season cast. The show about a Chinese scientist who inadvertently signals aliens, then discovers they are headed towards Earth and will arrive in a couple decades, was a critic's darling after season one. The scientists band together with a detective to help stave off an existential planetary threat. Claudia Dumit and Ellie DeLang join the cast. Season two of Three Body Problem drops in 2026 on Netflix. Here's a Pete pick. It's an oldie, but a goodie. For whatever reason, I never got around to watching the show Dexter until this past weekend. The Showtime drama thriller about a forensic scientist who is a serial killer, but only kills those he deems deserving, is at times suspenseful, thoughtful, and complex. The show dropped in 2006 and ran for 8 seasons. If you're looking for mystery accompanied by some dismemberment, you have several seasons to binge, and all of them can be streamed at Paramount+. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight will drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Lisa White, one of the Democratic candidates in the 17th State Senate District, for this installment of Broad Appeal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
quick reminder here that Up North News is a separate entity from our friends at Civic Media. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy newsroom with outlets in several states, including Wisconsin. Also affiliated with several newsletters, podcasts, video series. Let me tell you about a couple of them really quick. You know, our friend Mark Jacob is here on Friday mornings. He has a newsletter called Stop the Presses, all about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what we can do about it. This week's issue is entitled Why the Washington Post is Dead to Me and Why I Haven't Canceled the New York Times Despite Its Flaws. And then there's Control-Alt-Right-Delete by Melissa Ryan, a weekly newsletter that is also devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And her newsletter this week is titled Swapping Satire for Substack. Stephen Colbert is out, and legacy media continues to erode. So get those and all the other products put forth by Courier over at couriernewsroom.com. So we mentioned Mark Jacobs normally here on Fridays. So is Jim Santel, a former U.S. attorney, but he's with us right now, along with Melissa Baldoff for this week's Climate Check. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. It's nice to introduce you to Jim here because we've been talking a lot about how since the Trump administration took office, we don't get to talk anymore about initiatives coming out of Washington, D.C., coming out of Congress. And so instead, the battle for a better climate has moved to the courtrooms. And Jim's going to fill us in on cases across the U.S. and frankly, across the world. But Melissa, let's start with you just to illustrate that, look, even when there's a hostile entity like a president or a Congress, there are still different ways to do work. We've said at the local level, for example, courts are another option. There's always an opportunity to try to do better and try to have a better, I guess, planet, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, there absolutely is. You know, there are always opportunities. You know, you just look to, you know, the local and state governments that we see doing work. You look at, you know, neighborhoods and communities who are committed and who haven't given up and are continuing the fight and are not letting, you know, what's happening at the federal level stop them from continuing to move forward, because what we can't afford to do is put our progress on hold for 4 years because we don't have partners in DC anymore. We know that's not what the rest of the world is doing. You know, they're going to be, you know, leaving us behind. We're going to be outliers here again by not taking the climate crisis seriously and by, you know, refusing to acknowledge it. And by, you know, in fact, the Trump administration yesterday, you know, moving to, you know, repeal the, you know, scientific declaration that acknowledges that humans are driving climate change. You know, they don't want to acknowledge anymore the just basic science. So, yeah, we are having to look to the others to see that progress because we're not seeing it from the federal government.
Which really makes it an issue, Jim, of justice. And so we can talk about the U.S. cases in a sec, but you were the one that alerted me that even the world court is involved in the climate crisis to a degree. Tell us what they have been doing and talking about there.
Yes, this is the International Court of Justice. We sometimes call it the World Court. It's at The Hague. And just last week, a 15-member panel of the court, a unanimous court, basically said an awful lot of things in the legal sense that Melissa just commented about. They find that the failure of nations, yes, that includes us, but failure of nations across the globe to take action, protect our climate system generally, may constitute, as they said, an internationally wrongful act. That's an awful lot, awful close to coming to describing those that kind of conduct as criminal. Also finds the protection of the environment as a precondition for, get this, ensuring human rights, and cited the support of by governments of fossil fuel production as a potential violation of human rights. And again, this is the first time that the World Court, this is a part of the United Nations, has spoken out about this. It is a big deal, and it plainly sends a message that legitimate judicial people looking at this, they just roll out of bed some morning, they conducted hearings, they had what we would call trials, and they come up with this conclusion, not only about the obligation, but if you don't do this, what you're doing not only to the planet, which is number one, of course, derivatively us, and also to human rights, which is a fascinating way of looking at that. As Melissa just said, then we've got juxtaposed to that, our Environmental Protection Agency here in this country going in just the opposite direction, rescinding this 2009 notion, endangerment finding. It's the basis upon which all of our attempts and our undertakings to address greenhouse gases have proceeded. It's basically that way of ensuring that tailpipe emissions are somewhat reduced. That the EPA is rescinding. And for that reason, the rules that would encourage electric cars and encourage a diminution of our air pollution, that we're abandoning here in America. Completely different approaches. One plainly completely wrong. One sending us some inspiration and some motivation to do something about this horrific problem.
And Melissa, when we talk about this from a human rights and a legal standpoint of other nations being wronged, there are different ways to come at this. It's not just that, you know, in some other nations, smaller nations, that now their air is dirtier. But frankly, I can say this from my short time living in the Cayman Islands and in other countries, you know, they did not do anything to exacerbate the fact that sea levels are rising and endangering, you know, their very way of life, And it's no longer like some incidental thing like, oh, we didn't understand that our smokestacks were going to cause problems for your countries. They now know. The science is there. So I feel like there's, for laymen like you and me, there is a strong underpinning for a case to be made in court about, you know, getting countries to be more responsible with their emissions, with their output, with their conduct overall.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't a situation, like you said, where we're not aware. You know, the U.S. is one of the, you know, we're one of the biggest polluters in the world, and we are very aware of what we're doing. You know, the science is there. Everyone, you know, for the most part, maybe I guess not everyone, but, you know, most people are acknowledging that this is what is causing the emissions are what's causing climate change and causing these adverse, you know, health impacts that are leading to adverse economic impacts. You know, we're aware of it, right? There's no argument that anyone is presenting. There's no serious fact-based, evidence-based arguments to the contrary to say that humans aren't driving climate change with our actions and what we're doing. There's no other fact-based, evidence-based argument here that anyone is presenting. So it is incredibly, I think, very selfish and irresponsible that we aren't taking any steps to mitigate this, not only, you know, for what we're doing to people in this country, but what we're doing to the rest of the world. You know, we have a responsibility to everybody. You know, it's kind of, to me, it's like what we know about, you know, smoking cigarettes now, right? Like, you know, it's not just harming you, it's harming everybody else if you're, you know, smoking cigarettes, like in a car with kids, right? Like, that's not just harming the person that's smoking the cigarettes, you are exposing the kids in that car to all that secondhand smoke, which is going to be dangerous to them too. So, you know, I think we have to be really mindful of what our actions are in this country and how they are impacting the rest of the world, because it's not, we're not isolated here. What we do is impacting everybody else.
And Pat, if I could follow up on Melissa's comment about harm, it is stunning to hear that this administration is withdrawing what Melissa and I have talked about. You've also commented about this rescission of the endangerment finding. You know where they're justifying this? They're saying that the present climate regulations that Melissa's talking about actually pose real harm to human health. Why? Because it will lead to higher prices and reduced consumer choices. That's the basis upon which they're rescinding these regulations. It's a stunning turning up on its head of the whole notion of harm beyond our borders and to other people.
Oh, it's Alice in Wonderland type stuff here, Jim. So let's move from the world court to more traditional courts here in the States. But I noticed that there was a similar case in Italy, but there are cases in New York and in Hawaii, and they're in court because you have what? Essentially a group of plaintiffs saying that these companies and or these governments, again, know that there are dangers, and yet they're creating hazards anyway. Congress won't do anything about it, so we want this court to do something about it. Is that kind of capturing what's happening in these state lawsuits?
That's capturing it perfectly. And thankfully, our environmental laws in this country do give private parties, entities, individuals, groups of people, it's called a private right of action to bring these lawsuits. All they need to show, of course, we've talked a lot about this, Pat, is standing, which means, have I been endangered? Have I been damaged in some way? And they plainly, in all those lawsuits you mentioned, say, yes, indeed, by virtue of what, and you fill in the blank, whoever the defendants are, the producers of the environmental harm, they are causing me harm, that's standing. And now I am asking this judicial branch of our nation, different states, to come in and direct these defendants to do all kinds of remedial things. That's what the EPA standards have always traditionally been about. That's the basis upon which the Congress has, in prior years, passed legislation, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, all those kinds of things. That's the basis upon which these are proceeding. We know as well that just in the last term, the previous term to this one, the Supreme Court basically smacked down the Biden administration when it came to its good neighbors policy. Again, following up on Melissa's point, this notion that there are portions of our nation, typically us in the Midwest, that produce these horrific gases in our airs. They drift across the country, prevailing westerlies, and affect other parts. Supreme Court said last term, that's too much, that's too big, that's too novel. President can't do that. Only Congress can do it. Well, if that's the case, then Congress is not acting. Private individuals have got to get into the fray here, as they have been doing, and attack this problem.
So final question, and I'll have to throw it back at you, Jim, and because I'm sure Melissa's wondering this too. I mean, we saw this happen with Big Tobacco, that eventually it was courts that said you are liable and you need to fix this somehow. Is that something we could eventually be seeing with, you know, fossil fuel companies and or governments?
Yes, absolutely. And especially if we get what's called discovery and we find out in these civil cases, not criminal cases, civil cases, we get the emails back and forth, those memorandums that we've seen in those other cases that say, hey, we know we're doing this. But again, money is our big factor. We've got to supply revenues to our shareholders. That kind of motivation, that prompts courts. Again, I'd like to believe even in America, the 2025 and beyond, to do things to enjoin, to stop those companies from doing what they're doing, subject to appeal, subject to review. But that's the way that these matters are being handled, again, especially since right now, as you said, our own administration not taking these important issues on.
Melissa, I'm always glad to talk to you about climate issues, but I'm kind of glad you and I decided to check in with an actual attorney on this one. I feel smarter for it. We can talk about these things all day long, but somebody's actually got legal underpinnings for a segment like this. Jim, thank you very much for joining us. I'll talk to you on Friday. And Melissa, thank you. We'll talk next week.
Great. Thanks.
All right. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And if that's the case, I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. for the rest of you. Some final news and notes from around Lake Wasota, including Civic Media's James Kelly. After this, you're up north.